Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
I was just enjoying the music as I get to do every Sunday, and then I forgot that I needed to do something. Oh. So as Joe already introduced us with the children, we're reading a story from the prophet Jeremiah, and we're in chapter 32, skipping around a little bit. So I hope you can kind of follow the story, beginning with verses 1 and 2 in chapter 32. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of King Zedekiah of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah was confined in the court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah. Verse 6, Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord then came to me, 'Hanamel, son of your uncle Shallum, is going to come to you and say, buy my field that is at Anathoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then my cousin Hanamel came to me in the court of the guard, in accordance with the word of the Lord, and said to me, 'Buy my field that is at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself.' Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord, and I bought the field at Anathoth from my cousin Hanamel." Verse 15, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My husband George once gave me a case of tennis balls. You might interpret that as a hint to get some exercise. If you know already how much I like to play tennis, you might see it as a thoughtful and practical gift. But if I add that he gave me all these tennis balls 5.5 years ago, you might see his gift for what it truly was, an act of hope on his part, meant to give me hope. 5.5 years ago, you might remember, we were in the early days of the COVID pandemic. Not only were most of us stuck at home, it was still too cold around here to do much outside, even if we had been allowed to gather. We still didn't know much at all about what COVID was or how it was spread, and it was only those essential workers who braved this scary new world for us. By giving me a case of tennis balls, George was helping me to believe that there would be a time and place when I would play tennis again. He was seeing beyond what was to what could be. It's strange to look back on that time now that we have some distance and perspective. We've learned a lot, but we're also still trying to figure out how to navigate the ways the pandemic changed our lives, especially our life in community. As we celebrate our 175th anniversary this fall, we are looking back at the ways this church has navigated many different seasons in ministry over our history as a community of faith. Much has changed, and yet there are some patterns and themes that have shaped how this church chose to be part of or to stand apart from what was happening in the world around it. For example, as we've been saying already today, a huge part of this church's legacy is the planting of other churches in the CU community. And as the community grew and changed, they saw the need. And today we celebrate those congregations and our ongoing relationships with them. They include Urbana First, McKinley on campus, the Korean Church in Urbana, and Westminster and Copper Creek on the west side. I served Westminster for over 20 years, and I appreciate so much Beth and the anniversary committee giving me a chance to celebrate that relationship and all the relationships with the other Presbyterians in this area today. Most of all, I believe that the foundation for this legacy and our continuing involvement in the community is this church's way of seeing beyond what is, to what can be, to what could be. What is might be a particular set of circumstances, needs, and resources. The needs might be great and the resources few or fluctuating, but over the years, the leaders and members of First Pres saw beyond present circumstances to what could be, to what God might be up to in our midst, in their midst. And then they acted in hope, sending a small group of people out from this church to be the nucleus for a new one. Having our imagination shaped by faith to see such possibilities is crucial. But you know, it's not enough. It's only the beginning of the process, because nothing will change, nothing new will happen until someone or a group of someone's commits an act of hope. Such an act can help people around them begin to see the possibilities and have hope too. This is the principle behind what happens in Jeremiah. In our reading from chapter 32, the prophet is under palace arrest and his nation is about to be overtaken by Babylon. Jeremiah and his people could use some hope about now. The people face ruin and exile because they have forgotten that they were created to worship God and care for each other, especially the widows, orphans, and strangers. Jeremiah is where he is because he is always telling the people this and warning them about the consequences, and he had really gotten under the skin of King Zedekiah. It probably seemed like a good solution to the king to keep that nuisance of a prophet out of the public eye and near at hand where he could keep tabs on him. But he is not the kind of man to gloat and say, "I told you so," when all those prophecies began to come true. And Jeremiah is grief-stricken about the fate of his people. Then in the middle of all the chaos, he hears an odd word from the Lord. God says that his cousin will be coming to offer him first dibs on a field that he needs to sell. When that actually happens, Jeremiah realizes that this is truly the Lord's plan, and he acts on that immediately. But we have to ask, what's the point? First of all, isn't it a little crazy for Jeremiah to be buying land while under palace guard with no idea if or when he's ever going to be released or even live to see it? And secondly, how will this change of ownership for one parcel of land make any difference to the fate of his people and their nation? What difference could it possibly make to them when life as they've known it is about to be completely wiped out? It's a big deal because it's an investment in the future of Judah, just when it looks as if they have no future at all. God is telling the people that houses and fields and vineyards will be again bought in this land, in just the same way that Jeremiah has bought his cousin's land. It's a sign of hope, in other words, that as bad as everything looks right now, God's promises say that this is not the end of their story. As much as it looks and feels as if God has given up on them once and for all, God is still with them. God is not only with them in these terrible circumstances they find themselves in, God has not given up on the original dream God had for them. It's going to take a long time. There are still consequences of bad decisions and poor behavior to be faced, but all is not lost. All this is symbolized by Jeremiah's purchase of that field. This single act of hope, expressing confidence in the future of his people, is Jeremiah's way of seeing beyond what is to what could be. He is acting on God's promises of what will be on the other side of their exile. Yes, it might seem ridiculous and foolhardy just now, but in light of God's presence with them and God's faithfulness to them, it is not. And this is a word for us to take into our hearts too. Nothing is beyond God's love and power to create, use, and redeem, even when there is no reason at all to believe that our circumstances and resources could change. Believing in and wanting to be part of whatever God is up to enables us to actually begin to see a different reality. And that makes it possible for us to perform acts of hope in our world toward a future that looks at the moment very unlikely. What God can do with people who act as if a new reality is possible, that is truly miraculous. The way they live begins to bridge the gap between what is and what can be in the lives of other people, helping to bring about that imagined future for a whole community. It's an exciting and often vulnerable way to live. To begin with, before we can see all the new possibilities, we have to look closely at what is actually happening in the present moment, what the needs, the hardships, and the challenges really are for everyone. And we can't do that without opening our hearts and minds to folks who are different from us. Diversity always points the way forward to a new life. We need to understand what life is like for others before we can ever imagine with them what it could be for all of us. It disrupts the status quo. It can make us feel nervous and uncomfortable, but it also reminds us that we are in need of God's help, and that's always the best place to be. And guess who has lived this way for over 175 years? Guess who chose to pay attention to the world around them, ask good questions of one another, and invite their neighbors to tell them what life was like for them, where they lived, so that together Presbyterians could see beyond what was to what could be. Folks who worshiped and served together here might have been the first Presbyterian church in the area, but they didn't see themselves as the last one. They were willing to set out individuals from their number, and those people who were willing to leave their comfortable place here because they all realized God might be up to something new. They acted in hope, not just once, but many times, with each new church they planted. And then First Pres continued to act in hope when it came time to let go of that new church and allow them to fulfill God's call in their own way, which is not always easy. As we celebrate this particular legacy and others on this 175th anniversary, this church finds itself at a crossroad. The COVID pandemic escalated the decline of mainline churches that was already underway. So First Pres may not be planting a new church anytime soon, but as we wonder how to breathe ever new life into this one, this legacy can still point the way for us. All the church planting that First Pres did was never for its own sake or its own survival, but to be part of what God was up to. Folks were looking at their community and the needs around them, and by faith, they could see beyond what was to what could be. So, who or what needs our attention now? What may even look impossible, but could be exactly the kind of new life that our community needs to be able to imagine? What act of hope is God asking of people of faith like us to do in this moment? Next month, we will be starting a series of small group discussions on these very questions. And we need as many voices as possible to be able to see together beyond what is to what could be, and discern together what acts of hope God is inspiring us to do today and tomorrow. Those acts of hope, like the churches planted by First Pres in the past, or Jeremiah's purchase of a cousin's field from a prison cell, or George's gift of a case of tennis balls during a pandemic, will lead us into the new future God has in store for us and for our world. In fact, God is already bringing it about when we start acting as if what could be already is. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.